What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone? Nick Filato, a Big Blue View here, joined by Chris Flom on the Chris and Nick Show to break down the New York Giants wide receiver room. I think this is a very interesting room, Chris, because last year, last offseason, the New York Giants invested a bunch of money into Kenny Golladay, and the New York Giants offense maintained its respectable position as the 31st most potent offense out of 32 teams last season. So hopefully we could see a better breakout in 2022. I'm hopeful. Chris, are you?
You know I am. Yeah, just based on the fact that we finally have coaches in there who know what millennium it is. You know, you've got Mike Kafka, who learned under Andy Reid. You've got Brian Daboll, who has been all over the place. He's been down in college. He put together a pretty innovative offense in Buffalo. So, you know, we might see concepts that, you know, that weren't last run in the 1980s.
That's what we're all hoping for. And I think we can maybe start this by reflecting a little bit on the 2021 season, because there are a lot of reasons why the New York Giants offense was so terrible. A lot of it was scheme. Some of it was Daniel Jones. A lot of it was just an overall lack of cohesion because of training camp time that was missed by several different receivers, injuries. There was a confluence of reasons why the New York Giants were terrible on offense last year. And I was going through some Kenny Golladay stats. I think we could probably start with Kenny Golladay specifically when we're reflecting on the 2021 season. This guy, bro, only had 14 deep targets. There are targets that are 20 yards or more downfield. Chris, he caught one of them, bro. He caught one deep target. When the Giants signed this guy, and if you knew he was going to play the vast majority of the season, and you would have heard that stat and the stat that said zero touchdowns, two red zone targets, what would your reaction be?
What? Like, it that based on the player that Golladay was supposed to be, the player the Giants signed him to be, there's no way to frame that as anything other than really a shocking disappointment of a season. Yeah, I would hope that Golladay himself is disappointed. I know I am. You know, there are reasons. I know people love to point to the offensive line, and that certainly did play a role. Losing Daniel Jones, specifically going to Mike Glennon, that also played a role. But also, when we go in and look at the season itself, yeah, Golladay, he wasn't particularly healthy last year. He did a whole lot of not practicing. He missed a couple games. And also, he was, I believe, the worst separating wide receiver in the NFL last year. Like, he was always tangled up and tied up with opposing defensive backs. Like, he just couldn't get a breath of space, a breath of separation from opposing cornerbacks to save his life. And that just makes it so tough to consistently catch the ball. Yeah, yes, he is big. He is strong. He is really a specialist in tilting the field on those 50-50 balls and making them 60-40. But when you've got maybe half a yard of separation, yeah, that's really more like a 70-30 ball for the DB.
And when you look at his route tree too, Chris, he ran a lot of go routes, a lot of slants right off the line of scrimmage on, you know, slant flat type of concepts, a lot of hitches, as we know, the Jason Garrett special. And then some dig and post routes. And I felt like he did well in the intermediate portions of the field on those dig routes over the middle of the field when Daniel Jones could deliver the football and hit him in stride. But before we even talk about some of the things he did well, I don't want to focus on the negative, but I do believe some of these stats are just alarmingly bad. He was second to last out of all the wide receivers who played I think 20% of snaps. In catch rate, he had a sub 50% catch rate at 49.3. And the only wide receiver that was worse than that was Darius Slayton, which is just comical when you look at the New York Giants and speaks to just how bad the New York Giants offense was last year. And then he also had the lowest yards per route run of his career at 1.23 yards per route run, which ranked 79th in the league behind Khalif Raymond and Nico Collins. So this is one of those seasons where I hope, and I do believe this, Kenny Golladay is going to look at it. He's going to take it for what it was. It was a disaster. And then he's going to just throw it away and prepare for next season. And judging by some of the comments he made in OTAs and minicamp, it seems like he has that mindset.
Yeah. One of the things I always try to keep in mind is you are never as bad as your worst game, but you're also never as good as your best game. So the reality of what Kenny Golladay is probably somewhere between last season and that season where he led the NFL in touchdowns. Yeah, hopefully he is closer to that peak, and hopefully he will be put in position to really maximize his skill set, where run those routes where he looked good, and hopefully he won't be put in quite so many ISO situations where, okay, he's not a great separator. Giants will put him in situations where they are scheming him separation.
And I have a lot more faith in this coaching staff to do that than the previous one. So I hope Kenny Golladay, and I think Kenny Golladay, if he's healthy, will have a bounce back type of seasons. Now that season that you referenced just before, that was 2019, and it was only 11 touchdowns. It was just a league-wide low touchdown a rate for a lot of wide receivers. So he had 11, but he was north of 1,000 yards, which he's done twice in his career, with a yards per catch of 18.3, which was also the most in his career. Last year, he had a 14.1 yards per reception. But I do believe he's going to step in. He's going to be the X receiver in this offense, but that doesn't necessarily always mean he's going to be on the backside of 3-by-1 sets. I think you're going to see him as the number 3 receiver sometimes. I think you're going to see him as the slot in 2-by-2. I think it all depends on what the defense is doing and the matchups that Brian Daboll can try to exploit. And when you talk about matchups, Kenny Golladay is a 6'4", 215-ish pound wide receiver who has solid speed and is pretty good in contested catch situations. So I'm expecting all of those traits of Kenny Golladay to be leveraged by this coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. The Giants have 14 wide receivers on their roster. Well, they've got 13 signed, and then Wandale Robinson is currently unsigned, at least as of when we're recording this. I wouldn't put it past them to ink that contract in between when we record this and when the podcast actually drops, because, well, that's just the way the Giants operate. They love to do that to us. But, you know, the Giants have a ton of wide receivers on their roster right now. They've got a pretty broad mix of body types and skill sets. So, you know, they've got a few big guys like Kenny Golladay. They've got Colin Johnson, 6'6", 220. They've got David Sills, 6'3", 211. Yeah. Just signed Robert Foster, just signed Keelan Doss, who's 6'3", 204. Robert Foster, 6'2", 196. So they've got some big bodies. They also have a bunch of small, really quick wide receivers. So with a coaching staff that is willing to move guys around, willing to look for those mismatches and put guys in positions to succeed, having that broad selection of skill sets can be very useful.
Which I think is also interesting, because there are a lot of receivers on this roster who hover just short of about 6 foot, like the Kadarius Tonys, the Sterling Shepherds, the Richie James, the Alex Bachmans, the Austin Proles, who are all maybe even a little bit smaller than that. I'm wondering, with the history of injuries that Kenny Golladay has suffered, will that open up a door for a possible bigger bodied receiver to make the roster, like a Keelan Doss or maybe even a Colin Johnson? Before we go and talk about Kadarius Toney, do you think that might go into the New York Giants' mind at all?
I'm not quite sure how you could avoid it, really. I mean, they also have Ricky Seals-Jones, who, you know, this isn't a tight end show, but he does kind of straddle the line between tight end and receiver. He's a converted wide receiver. And yeah, if you are looking at Kenny Golladay as being that big body, the guy who in some ways can help set up matchups for other receivers who can, you know, kind of be the pick player if you're looking to create separation. Not that the Giants will run pick plays. Those are, of course, illegal.
Of course.
But using route combinations, his size is useful for forcing defensive backs to take the long way around. But then, like you said, you referenced him moving into the slot. Moving big receivers into the slot can be incredibly effective. You know, when you can get a 5'10", 185-pound slot corner on a 6'4", 215-pound receiver, yeah, that's instant separation right there.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/Vox. That's klaviyo.com/Vox.
Yes, instant separation, especially when you're running slants in those quick game type of concepts that we saw a lot last year. Hopefully the Giants are a little bit more successful this season. But I want to talk about the next three receivers that come to my mind. Kenny Golladay, he is pretty specific with his size and what his role might be on the offense. But I do believe Sterling Shepard, Wan'Dale Robinson, and Kadarius Toney, I don't think their similar skill sets are the same, but they're all similar in size and they all have the potential to be very good route runners. Sterling Shepard is already there if he maintains that after the injury. But let's start with Kadarius Toney for a second. Say this kid is motivated. He is there at the facility training and practicing. What is his ceiling, Chris? Because Kadarius Toney, man, this is somebody who last season ranked 15th in the league in missed tackles forced, and he only had 39 touches. He was 8th in the league in yards after catch per reception with 6 yards after the catch, and he was tied with Tyreek Hill and 11th in the league in yards per route run. Now, he ran less routes than Tyreek Hill, but still, we know how dynamic Tyreek Hill is as a deep threat. That was 2.14 yards per route run. So what is the ceiling to Kadarius Toney if he's fully dialed in?
You know, I don't know, because that really is dependent on so much more, so much around him. I think he can be a good receiver. He can be a dynamic weapon. But like you say, he has to be dialed in. He has to be on the field because he is a guy who has struggled with injuries, you know, really throughout his college career. And we saw it last year. He only played 10 games. Yeah. Toney has really impressive stop start quickness. Yeah. I do see some people kind of, going into hyperbole when they talk about Kadarius Toney's athleticism, Sam Munson, in writing for Pro Football Focus, said he has unbelievable athleticism, incredible athleticism. He is very athletic, but he is not the best athlete in the NFL. There are a lot of wide receivers who are really good athletes. to me, what is most impressive about Kadarius Toney is his stop-start quickness, his ability to change direction, losing, I'll say, the minimum amount of speed. You know, his straight line speed is good. He ran a 4.38, but he isn't as fast as like Henry Ruggs or Tyreek Hill or those true speed demons out there. But just having that ability to very quickly stop, force defenders to change their angles, and then explode in another direction, that I think is what really makes him dangerous, or at least can make him dangerous, you know, if he is in good positions and has the space to work with.
And I gotta be honest, Chris, he might, and I'm not, I don't think I'm being hyperbolic here, I think he might have the best change of direction in the NFL. I think there's a conversation to where that is not a ridiculous statement. Whenever you see Kadarius Toney in space and some really athletic defensive back has an angle on him and he's able to just plant his foot and then explode in an angle that should not be known to man, some of the ways he's able to pivot off of his feet, I think he is in the conversation to have some of the best change of direction at that position.
Yeah, that is definitely fair. Yeah. I think it also does kind of help that tackling around the NFL is at kind of an all-time low. It seems to keep getting worse, which is, I think, a whole different conversation. But this really does, I think, hinge on him, A, being dialed in, like you said, and also, B, being healthy and on the field. You know, he's been in the red jersey. He had his knee scoped. Last year, he had a plethora of injuries. He had shoulder injuries, lower body injuries. In college, he's had both upper and lower body injuries. I think like hamstring, ankle stand out. So he really does need to be on the field. Yeah. If I would say, even if he doesn't reach his ceiling, I could see him comfortably being a Mario Manningham type, another guy who, no, he was never a high volume receiver. He was never a number one threat on the offense, but very athletic, incredible change of direction and stop start skills with Manningham. I remember one play, I think it was during the 2011 season, where a DB had the angle on him and Manningham just stopped and the DB completely whiffed and went flying off the field. It was right along the sideline. It was hilarious. And then kept going and picked up another, I don't know, I think it was about 10, 15 yards, something like that. And I think even if Toney isn't able to reach his full ceiling, that's still a player he could be.
I think you're onto something there with the Mario Manningham comp. I think the ceiling is very high for Kadarius Toney, but the health is an issue, and that's something that cannot really be overlooked in terms of what he can do in 2022 because of his past. Now let's transition a little bit to Sterling Shepard. We're talking about health. Sterling Shepard, unfortunately, has been injured a lot of his career. I believe he's been injured in every season he's played. I might be off on that, but I know I'm pretty sure he never played a full 16 or 17 game season. He's coming off of a torn Achilles. He was able to lower his cap hit and play for the New York Giants at a reduced rate during the offseason, which I like because I'm a big fan of what Sterling Shepard can offer. But what should we realistically expect from Shepard? Because I'm not 100% certain when he's going to be back on the field. And this is a more crowded wide receiver room at the moment. So what are your expectations for Shep in 2022?
You know, I would just be happy to see him on the field. You know, that was an ugly injury when it happened. Like when he got hurt, it was almost like the Victor Cruz injury where you just knew something was very wrong, the way he just kind of landed and crumpled to the ground. So I just want to see him get back on the field because, you know, I'm with you. I really like watching Shepard run. I love watching him play. He is honestly one of the best route runners in the NFL. He is incredibly precise and incredibly smart about how he runs his routes. He needs to be healthy in order to do so. Yeah, I think maybe the best hope for him would be to be that veteran in the locker room, to help the young guys, to give them pointers, help them learn how to study, how to become the same kind of technician that he is. Shepard, the Giants have kind of always used him in high-risk situations in, you know, as that kind of that go-to slot receiver. When you need a third down converted, that's where they were going to go, over the middle. And a lot of times he was led into some pretty violent collisions. And a fair amount of times he would pop back up and just straight up flex on the defensive back. But unfortunately, all those hits, I think, just kind of accumulated on him. In 2019, Shepard played 10 games. He had 57 receptions at 10.1 yards per catch. Then 2020, he played 12 games, 9.9 yards per catch. And then last year, he only played 7 games. And again, 10 yards per catch, only 366 total yards, only scored 1 touchdown, which unfortunately did lead the receiving core. But yeah, it's just, he's taken so many shots over his career. And it's not like he's been in the NFL that long. He was only drafted in 2016. But man, I like and respect Sterling Shepard so much, but I really have to wonder just how much of a role he will be physically able to have and just how long he will be on the team.
Yeah, I kind of fall into that same boat. I think his ability to create separation with precise route running is very underrated. And I think one reason why it's underrated is because he's been playing on a bad New York Giants team that doesn't necessarily get that many nationally televised games. I think there's an element of that. And I also think the fact that he can't stay healthy is another reason why it's underrated. But I watch a lot of film, man. His ability to defeat man coverage is exceptional. But his ability to understand spacing, the overall spatial awareness as to how he runs routes against zone coverage is very, very good. So I'm hoping that he can get back on the field because I think he has a lot to teach Wandell Robinson and Kadarius Toney, and he can bring both of those players' game to the next level. And we don't have to speak too much about Wandell Robinson. If you guys want to hear our thoughts on Wandell Robinson and his fit in Brian Daboll's offense with Mike Kafka, scroll down the feed a little bit. Chris and I came out with a podcast a few weeks back on Wandell Robinson. But just because we're talking about the wide receiver room collectively, if you had to guess, Chris, how many snaps or what is the snap percentage that you believe Wandell Robinson will play if the Giants wide receiver room is relatively healthy?
Well, if they're all healthy and are able to stay that way for the course of the season, I'm going to guess somewhere between a third to half the snaps. Yeah, I think he will be out there a fair bit. The Giants are pretty heavily invested in him. You know, a high second round pick is nothing to sneeze at, and they wouldn't have picked him at the top of the second round way earlier than a lot of people thought he was going to be drafted if they didn't like him. They drafted Wandell Robinson for a reason. Now, maybe that reason is because they want to be absolutely sure they have that quick, gadget-esque player skill set on the field at all times, and they didn't know how bought in Kadarius Toney would be. They don't know how healthy he will be able to stay. Or maybe they want two players like that. Yeah, something we talked about before we started recording. The Kansas City Chiefs, which is where Mike Kafka is from, and the Buffalo Bills played a lot of 10 personnel over the last couple of years. They use a lot of four receiver sets. And if you can get Wandell Robinson and Kadarius Toney both on the field at the same time, they both don't have to be slot receivers. They moved around their respective college offenses a ton. You know, they were both gadget players up until their senior seasons. They played out of the slot. They played out of the backfield. They moved out wide. They went into motion, did a ton of sweeps, end arounds, toss plays, screen plays. They were basically just schemed touches all over the field. And that, I think, is a skill set the Giants want on the field all of the time.
Chris, one of the more interesting players on this roster, who is still currently on the roster, but I think there's a debate as to if he's going to be there for the entirety of the 2022 season is Darius Slayton. This is somebody who has gone downhill since 2019, his impressive rookie season when he was a fifth-round pick out of Auburn. And the Giants can save $2.5 million if they release Darius Slayton, a player who does not have special teams value. So I think that's important. And I like Darius Slayton. I like what I've heard out of OTAs and minicamps about Darius Slayton, but it was not pretty last year. This is somebody who ranked seventh worst in the NFL in yards per route run, which was less than a yard. He was 90th in yards after the catch per reception at 2.6 yards. He was dead last in contested catch percentage. He had 12.5%. He had eight contested catch opportunities, caught one of them. And he, as I said earlier, of players, wide receivers who played over 20% of snaps, had the dead stone last completion rate at 47.3% catch rate. Three interceptions were thrown in his direction. He only had one missed tackle forced. I mean, that's a lot of negative things about Darius Slayton, somebody who had six drops last year, struggled with drops in 2020, and he saw, I believe, 55 targets, only caught 26 of those targets for 339 yards with two touchdowns. It has not been great for Darius Slayton. So, Chris, what do you think Darius Slayton's role is on this 2022 Giants team? Or do you think that he might be a cap casualty because of all the other things I mentioned before and because of the depth the Giants now have at the wide receiver room?
I think Slayton is going to have the opportunity to keep his job. I think he will need to play well in training camp and in preseason to keep his job. He's going to have to really improve his separation ability. That's something he's always struggled with, kind of like Kenny Galladay. And he's going to have to be consistent catching the ball. You can't have a receiver who drops the ball, especially not as much as Slayton does. I could definitely see him on the roster as a big play flanker. Yeah, kind of that guy streaking down the field, adding that vertical element, occupying the free safety, forcing defenders to play off because he does have that explosive speed. Yeah, explosive deep speed. The problem is that if you get him the ball deep, you're never quite sure if he's going to haul it in or if it's going to doink off his hands. And anytime that happens, it's in danger of being picked off, which is, again, something you can't, you really can't afford if you're an offense, because the only sure way to stop a modern NFL offense, which I sincerely hope the Giants field, is to take the ball away. So if Slayton flashes big playability, but also has ball security issues in training camp, and he shows that in the preseason, then at that point, the $2.5 million in cap space is just more valuable than he is, especially because he doesn't also offer special teams upside.
Yeah, I think the special teams element could bite him in the rear end. But one thing that is working in his direction, other than the speed and all the things that you mentioned, is the fact that he is a willing run blocker, and he's pretty talented run blocker as well. I think it's unfortunate that we haven't seen the Darius Slayton that we saw in 2019, because a lot of Giant fans, including myself, thought we might have had a steal there, and it's been pretty bad since then. I'm not 100% certain if he's going to make this roster. I think you're right. He'll have an opportunity to earn it. And I think that is going to be one of the more interesting storylines in training camp. But if he doesn't make the roster, Chris, which one of these players that we're about to go over will make it over him? Because you have guys who have special teams value. David Sills, CJ Board, Richie James. And then you have players like Colin Johnson, who is a big X type of receiver. Robert Foster has some links with Brian Daboll from their time in Alabama. You have Keelan Doss, who the Giants just brought in during OTAs and minicamp, who seem to be turning some heads. Alex Bachman, Austin Prohl. There are a lot of wide receivers here. Who do you think would have the best chance? Travis Tovinen as well. Who do you think would have the best chance, though, Chris, of playing so well in training camp that they make Darius Slayton expendable?
You know, I'm kind of leaning towards CJ Board just because he is such a good special teams player. I don't expect the Giants to keep a whole separate special teams squad like they did under Joe Judge, where they were, you know, bringing in rugby players and, you know, having guys who their whole purpose is special teams, you know, beyond the three specialists, long snapper, kicker, and punter. But I think at the wide receiver position, if you have guys who are capable of producing on the field on offense, but also being really important special teams players, those guys, I think, have kind of an inside track towards the roster. Yeah, I am kind of looking at Robert Foster, Keelan Doss, and CJ Board. Maybe Keelan Doss has some added upside because he could, his size is kind of close to Kenny Galladay's. Like we said earlier in the podcast, if the Giants want to use Kenny Galladay's size as part of the structure of their route concepts, they have to recognize that he has dealt with injuries throughout his career, that you can almost see the injuries bouncing up and down the kinetic chain in his lower body, where he'll have hip injuries and knee injuries and ankle, then knee, and then it just goes up and down. They're going to need another guy on the roster who can offer at least some of what Galladay does. So maybe that weights things more towards David Sills and Colin Johnson. Keelan Doss seems to have kind of the best combination of athletic traits, size, background, all of that to fill multiple roles if necessary.
Yeah, Keelan Doss is an interesting one. This is somebody who went to UC Davis, was a undrafted free agent back in 2019 by the Raiders, had a role in his rookie season in 2019, was pretty efficient, but hasn't done really anything since. So we think he is somewhat of a wild card here. When you look at the Giants depth chart in totality, you have Galladay, Shepard, Tony, and Wandell Robinson, lock it in. Darius Slayton, that's a unique conversation, and the Giants could roll with six wide receivers. So potentially, depending on how this new regime feels about Slayton, there could be two spots up for grabs for the CJ Boards of the world, the Richie James, the Keelan Dosses, the Robert Fosters, etc. I think the Giants like Richie James. I think his skill set is somewhat similar to Kadarius Toney and Wandell Robinson. So I can see a camp battle where Richie James and CJ Board are kind of vying for one spot because of their special teams prowess. And then that leaves the debate up in the air as to if Darius Slayton is or isn't going to make the roster. What does that say about the rest of this wide receiver room? Now, let's operate under the assumption that Slayton is going to make the roster. Do you have any beat on a battle between CJ Board and Richie James or any opinions on that whatsoever? Because it seems like both these guys they gain a lot of steam. Richie James, you hear a lot about him in minicamp and OTAs. And then CJ Board, we saw that catch that he made against the Falcons last year. We've seen him step up and make some big plays throughout his short tenure here in New York. Do you have any beat on who would win that type of battle?
You know, I don't. Just a big part of that is because I still don't have a great read on what this offense is going to be. Yeah, I know we've gotten reports of a bunch of RPO plays out of OTAs and minicamp, but this is still relatively early in the process. You know, pads aren't on yet. Guys aren't hitting. We don't know how big of a role the running game is going to play. We aren't anywhere close to them installing the real meat of this offense. So I think we will get a pretty good read on how these guys are layered and where the individual battles are pretty early in training camp. But I think that's still something we're going to have to wait a few more weeks to see.
I agree. And one play that reminds me of CJ Board from last year. Do you remember the 50-yard touchdown run in week two by Daniel Jones? And CJ Yes. Board was down the field just driving a cornerback out of bounds. Yes. That play always stuck out to me. So this is somebody else who also has that run blocking upside. But I would agree. I don't know exactly what's going to happen between Board and James. I think ultimately one of those guys is going to make the roster. And I think something to pay attention to throughout training camp is Darius Slayton. But other than that, Chris, do you have anything else you want to say about some of these back end roster guys or any of the other guys we already went over?
I do think keeping an eye on the practice squad will be interesting as well, because the Giants do have a bunch of guys who have injury concerns. We've got injury concerns with Kadarius Toney. We've got injury concerns with Kenny Golladay. We've got injury concerns with Sterling Shepard. And I think we could see the Giants keep a fair amount of these 14 wide receivers on their practice squad just to have them ready just in case. So we could see Austin Prohl. We could see Keelan Doss or Colin Johnson. I'm not sure if David Sills is still eligible for the practice squad, but I think we could see him stick around if the Giants are able to keep him around. So that there are, I think, a lot of interesting battles to be seen at training camp, and a few of them are going to be under the radar, but definitely worth watching.
Yeah, and a lot of them are within this specific position, wide receiver. So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to the Chris and Nick Show here on Big Blue View Radio. Please head on over to bigblueview.com for all of our up-to-date New York Giants content. And also go to iTunes, go to Spotify, wherever you listen to this podcast, leave a comment, a like, you know, throw us a bone here. Okay. That'd be great. Thank you so much, everybody. And have a lovely day.